Thank you for listening to a recorded worship service of Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Our church is located just outside Adamstown, Pennsylvania.
We hope this service points you to Jesus, and we invite you to come worship the Lord with us.
Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Enjoy the service.
During the Advent season, we've been thinking of different themes, and we kind of darken the auditorium and think of that theme, and maybe people who would be in need of, for instance, today, our theme is peace, and I'm inviting you to think about praying for someone who might be not experiencing peace. Some thoughts came to my mind were, perhaps families struggling with the effects of violence. Maybe there's a family you know with a family member serving in the armed forces in a region of conflict. Perhaps a family with someone struggling with mental illness. People in need of peace. Once we darken the auditorium, Darlene will be playing I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. And one line in that says, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. If you're near a curtain, you could pull it closed and the lights could be turned off. And following her playing, then you can just go ahead and turn the lights on and open the curtains again.
Invite the ushers to come forward to receive this morning's offering. You'll notice in the bulletin on the bottom of the first page the different items that our offerings are going towards this month and budgeted items. Let's ask the Lord to bless our offering this morning. Father, we do thank you for today, again, another gift from your hands. gift of life, gift of blessing, a gift of fellowship this morning as we gather together here in a very special service. Father, I pray you would bless the offerings given this morning and also bless those who give in honor of you, in honor of your Son Jesus. We pray you use these offerings mightily in your work here in this community and around the world. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, it is my privilege to be here this morning and share in this service, a special privilege to share together in that singing. Thank you so much to the worship team for leading us. Each step we take, we know that the Lord is guiding us, is what we have just sung. And also the phrase that keeps echoing in my heart is one of the songs, "Never once did we walk alone." And I thought about how, you know, this is also an Advent service, we might say, as well as a licensing service. And I think that's the thought where these two things come together, because Advent is about Jesus coming among us, that He knows and understands what it means to be a human. He knows our hearts and He understands us. And that's the theme of my message this morning, both related to Advent as also the licensing service this morning. But I do want to take this opportunity to thank you for your prayer support and your financial support as I continue to serve as your district bishop. I note that in the bulletin you mentioned that there's a Christmas program at Red Run tonight. I just came from that Sunday school over here and I saw it was some practices were in play there, and so certainly you're welcome to come there tonight if that works in your schedule. I think it was just a little bit over a year ago that the leadership team gave a letter to this congregation saying that in the year 2016, it is our desire to see an expanded leadership team. Well, here we are, a little over a year later, bringing that vision to fruition. And I'd like to express my gratitude. I'm just so full of joy on an occasion like this. Gratitude to God for leading us in this journey. Gratitude to Travis and Carolyn, also Todd and Heidi, for their open hearts that they had towards God and the call of God upon their lives to ministry in this congregation. Gratitude to the leadership team here for the leadership that you've exercised in this the last year. I'm grateful for the Spirit-led discernment of the search team that was in place. I'm grateful also for the insight and the wisdom of the Board of Elders. And I'm also very grateful to you as a congregation for your participation as we walk through this and your prayers that have brought us to this day today, this day of what I call joyful solemnity, or is it maybe solemn joy would be an easier way to say that. This marks an important milestone in the life and history of this congregation. And now it remains upon us as a congregation to continue to live out our mission as a congregation in the work of God's kingdom, to the glory of God, and with gratitude for the leaders that God has provided for us. You know, in both our individual lives and our corporate life as a congregation, we do represent Jesus Christ to our communities and to our neighbors. Shortly, I'm going to be reading the text for today from Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. My desire this morning is to reflect on the calling of Travis and of Todd to be the servants in this congregation and to be yoked with Jesus. And yet, I also want this message to speak to all of us, for any who may not have received Jesus as Savior, to speak that this could be a challenge to do so. And for all who follow Jesus, who believe in Jesus, that this may give us further insight in what it means to trust Jesus. And for Travis and for Todd and for anyone else who might be in a place of receiving special responsibility, that this might be an encouragement to them as well. Matthew 18, verses 28 to 30, the words of the Lord Jesus to us.
Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take your yoke upon me, take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And I'm focusing mostly now on those four words, the words of Jesus. My yoke is easy. And the yoke of Jesus represents a decision on our part to follow Jesus. It also speaks of the journey that we have with Jesus. And then I also want to mention a bit about that word easy that speaks to us of the tender love of Jesus. Now we might think of the word yoke. It's a word that we're not familiar with perhaps so much, but the yoke is what an animal of burden wore or wears to make it possible, for example, to pull a plow. So someone might say, that sounds rough, like the yoke is some sort of slavery or something. However, in this context this morning, the yoke represents a decision to follow Jesus, whether it's the first-time commitment that we make when we decide to follow Jesus, or whether it's a decision that you are facing now, another step of obedience. When Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, and where we answer, yes, Jesus, I take the yoke. Now, I do confess to you that at times of services where deep commitments are made, I'm thinking of baptism, I'm thinking of marriage, I'm thinking of licensing and ordination, there are times that it comes upon me, a weakness comes upon me and says, is it really my business to be asking people to make such deep and solemn promises? And I remember one time at a baptism where that feeling had come upon me, and I felt that I was looking in the bright eyes of the children to be baptized on that occasion, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, I heard God through the Holy Spirit say, I love them, they love me, baptize them. And that has encouraged me that it is we serve God by asking of each other these solemn questions. And thinking of baptism, you know, it's always touching to see the early love for Jesus. Now, early love must give way to more mature love, of course, but the hymn writer Charles Wesley wrote a hymn about early love. Oh, how happy are they who the Savior obey and have laid up their treasures in heaven, laid up their treasures above. Oh, what tongue can recite the sweet comfort and peace of a soul in its earliest love? Love is very important when it comes to following Jesus. Love. In his book, The City of God, was written in the 4th century, a long, long time ago, by St. Augustine, he speaks of sin. He defines sin as being a disordered love. And in a recent article, Mark Laverton, the president of Fuller Theological Seminary, reflected on Augustine's definition and said, well, if sin is a disordered love, then the new birth must be about the reordering of our loves. And Laverton went on to say also that giving up the notion that life is principally about me or for me, which is a disordered claim that goes on to define and distort every relationship. And Laverton says that confronting, confessing, and reordering our love is at the core of being born again, of being given life in place of death. Now, I would say that there is no decision more important than the decision to follow Jesus. But there are other decisions that we make, significant decisions that all of us make and that some of us are facing right now, that will mark significant stepping stones of obedience, life-changing stepping stones. And the decision to answer the call to church leadership for Travis and Todd is such an important stepping stone. Such decisions mark the beginning of a new and exciting journey with Jesus. So to take the yoke means to decide to follow Jesus in this particular calling, or whatever calling may be upon you in your life at this time. To decide to follow Jesus, we say that as, yes, Jesus, I take your yoke. And then it's to acknowledge that when we take the yoke, that there is work to be done, because we enter then, when we take the yoke, we enter into a journey with Jesus. As I reflected on that, how important it is for us to acknowledge that our journey is with Jesus, and we are yoked with Jesus. And I'm saying this to Travis and Carolyn and Todd and Heidi, but to all of us, this means some things for us. It means that Jesus does most of the work. We can be deceived sometimes and think that it all depends. I can be deceived and think everything depends on me. No, Jesus does most of the work. My main duty is to make sure I'm pulling in the same direction with Jesus. It also means the journey with Jesus is that we are never alone. We do not know the circumstances which we will encounter in the future, but we know that Jesus is with us in the ups and downs of life, in the joys and the sorrows. So the yoke represents the decision to follow Jesus and then the ensuing journey with Jesus. And now I move to the phrase, my yoke is easy. And here I want to think mostly of the word easy. And I think I told this story in a sermon at Weaverland. I see some Weaverland people here and maybe at Red Run. And I think I wrote it in one of my minister messages in the effort review that I do occasionally. But it's still a story that speaks to my own heart about what it means to be easy. Well, this is a story. Let me preface that with another story that is fresh because it just happened as I walked in here. And Calvin met me back there and he wired me up with a microphone. And then he wanted to make sure that this fit well and turn my head. Does it feel comfortable? And fix that up a little bit. And I appreciated that because the word easy is rooted in an origin that means well fitting. But the story that I want to tell that illustrates this to me is about my granddaughter Lydia. And I'm an early riser, but early one Sunday morning I was sitting at my table drinking my morning coffee and no one else was up in the household. And I was reading, and it was a weekend that some of our grandchildren were with us. And I was savoring those moments of quiet reflection before the happy hum of family life, you know. Suddenly little Lydia burst into the dining room there. She was the second person awake in that household. And it really was like the sun rising on my day, even if Lydia's hair was kind of wild and disheveled. However, she had already pulled on the bright Sunday dress that she had expectantly laid out the evening before. But now she was twisting around and scrunching up her face, and she says, "Something is wrong. It just doesn't feel right," she complained. And as Lydia came and stood beside me, I could see that the collar was kind of twisted around and folded in such a way to feel uncomfortable. So I took my hands and gently straightened out the collar, and Lydia said, "Now it fits. Thank you, Grandpa." This word easy could mean fit it well. Jesus is saying to us, to Travis and Carolyn and Todd and Heidi and to all of us, I will not lay anything ill-fitting on you. You keep company with me, says Jesus, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. One way to understand words as they appear in the Greek New Testament is to note how that identical same word is used in other passages. That word easy, which most translations give, my yoke is easy, is in other passages of Scripture translated to the English word kind. It is the same word in Greek, but it is translated kind. In fact, there's a childhood verse that I remember, maybe you memorized this too, Ephesians 4:32, and be kind one to another. So we could translate this, my yoke is easy, would be correctly translated as my yoke is kind. But somehow over the centuries we get so used to the word easy, we like it the way it is. And so we say, my yoke is easy. That's how we translate the words of Jesus. Now, Ephesians 4:32, I just want to note also, in two words in this, is the words kind and the word Christ. But the verse says, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now, those words kind and Christ, if you look that up in the, even online in the Greek, they're almost identical words, just a few letters changed. The Greek word for kind and the Greek word for Christ. It's Christos and Christus or something like that, two very identical words. And that is because both of them derive from a root word, and you wouldn't guess this if you didn't know it, from the root word hand. is the root word for both Christ and for the word kind in the Greek language. Now, the reason it's for Christ is that Christ means the Messiah, which actually means literally the anointed one, the one called of God for his purposes. The anointed one, and how does anointing with oil happen? It might happen like this, the hand, the anointed one, Christ. And that word hand is also the word for the word kind. We use our hands to help each other. And when we say, can I give you a hand? I guess we don't mean that literally. I mean, that sounds sort of weird, but can I give you a hand? It means, can I help you in a practical kind of way? So being kind, as it's used in this word, is not in a fuzzy theoretical way, but in a concrete, practical kind of way. So in this passage, Jesus is saying, my yoke is easy, my yoke is kind. I can even imagine Jesus adjusting the yoke with his tender hands. Those called to ministry do face hardships. I pass through deeper waters in ministry than I could have ever imagined. I will not say this morning that ministry is easy, but neither will I say that life is easy. Life is full of, life contains disappointment, despair, persecution, doubt, rejection, being crushed in spirit, experiencing pain, and searing loss. Life is not easy. But Jesus says, I will fit the yoke upon you. My tender hands will place that and adjust that yoke, and my hands are kind, Jesus is saying. This is speaking to us in our life experiences. It's speaking to those that we're calling to ministry as well. And back to the story of Lydia, adjusting that color to make it feel better, to make it fit. And she said, thank you, Grandpa, that feels better. I think of Jesus as being kind. He has very tender hands. He carefully places the yoke upon us. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. And we say, I love you, Jesus. I take your yoke upon me because I want to follow you and I want to serve you. And Jesus will make sure that it fits. And I know at regular intervals, he will need to do some adjustment as well. And he will do that so that we can say, Jesus, that fits well now. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, we thank you for your tender, tender love. And we hear your words this morning, take my yoke upon you. We hear those words to each of our lives. We hear those words also into the lives of Travis and Carolyn and Todd and Heidi, who this day take up this yoke of ministry. So we hear your voice, and we take this yoke. And yet, Lord, we confess that often our lives and our loves are disordered, centered at times on wrong things or focused on self. And so we're giving you thanks, too, for the precious yoke, not of slavery, but as a sign that you can bring order into our disordered lives. Thank you that we can work with you, that we can journey with you, that you are with us and that you will take care of us. And our desire is to live to your glory. Amen. Now I'd like to invite Travis and Carolyn. We'll start with you guys here to come forward. All right, several questions here. Travis, do you hold to the promises that you made at baptism? And do you believe that this calling to ministry and your acceptance of it are in response to the leading of the Holy Spirit?
I do.
And will you seek to be faithful in prayer, in setting forth the scriptures, and in seeking the good of this congregation?
I will.
And will you seek to live honestly, openly, and justly with your brothers and sisters in this congregation?
I will.
And Carolyn, pastoring is a divine calling and your life is greatly affected by the call of Travis to ministry in this congregation. Will you encourage him to use his pastoral gifts and will you support him as you partner together as is mutually fitting in Christ?
I will.
All right, I think you guys can take a seat here and then we're going to call Todd and Heidi forward to ask them the same questions. Go over here, Lewis. There'll be greater visibility here. All right, Todd, do you hold to the promises that you made at baptism? And do you believe that this
calling to ministry and your acceptance of it are in response to the leading of the Holy Spirit?
I do.
And will you seek to be faithful in prayer, in setting forth the Scriptures, and in seeking the good of this congregation?
I will.
And will you seek to live honestly, openly, and justly with your brothers and sisters in this congregation? And Heidi, the question for you is that pastoring is a divine calling and your life is greatly affected by the call of Todd to ministry in this congregation. Will you encourage him to use his pastoral gifts, and will you support him as your partner together as is mutually fitting in Christ? And then I'm going to ask Travis and Carolyn to rejoin us up here. What I'm going to do now is give each Travis and then Todd the charge to ministry. So let me, there we go. Upon this confession and these promises, Travis, which you have made before God, and these witnesses, in the name of Jesus Christ and on behalf of the church, I license you as an associate pastor of the Gaiman congregation and charge you to preach the gospel in its purity, to warn the sinner, to admonish to repentance, to teach, comfort, instruct, and encourage believers, to reprove and exhort with right doctrine and great patience, to do the work of an evangelist. Walk carefully, read the word, meditate on God's grace, pray without ceasing, and seek to be a faithful minister of the gospel. Amen. And likewise, I'll give the same charge to you, Todd. Upon this confession and these promises which you have made before God and these witnesses in the name of Jesus Christ and on behalf of the church, I license you as an associate pastor of the Gaiman congregation and charge you to preach the gospel in its purity, to warn the sinner, to admonish to repentance, to teach, comfort, instruct, and encourage believers, to reprove and exhort with right doctrine and great patience, to do the work of an evangelist. Walk carefully, read the word, meditate on God's grace, seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit, pray without ceasing, and seek to be a faithful minister of the gospel. Amen. And now I'm going to invite the congregation to stand for the prayers of consecration. I'd like the ministry team and spouses to come forward. Phil and Kelly, Glenn and Mary, Steve and Darlene. And first of all, we'll place our hands upon Travis and Carolyn as Pastor Phil leads in a prayer of consecration. Following that, we'll place our hands on Todd and Heidi as Pastor Glenn leads us in a prayer of consecration.
Father, we thank you this morning for your love for us, Jesus. We consecrate to you, Travis and Carolyn. Thank you so much for their willing hearts. Submissive spirits to your leading in their lives, their love for you. Your word says that we are to give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord, that our labor is not in vain. And thank you for that. I pray that you would bless them as they serve you, bless their marriage, bless Ethan and Leah. Thank you for them and we commit them to you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Father, we thank you for Todd and Heidi, the children, who sent the call to greater ministry in our daily congregation. Pray that you would anoint them, fill them with your Holy Spirit to fulfill this call. Help Todd to faithfully preach the Word of God, to counsel the proper believers, and guide young faith into the knowledge of salvation which is Christ. Lord, may you bless Todd and Heidi with your love, your wisdom, your grace, your peace, your patience. Give unto me fulfill this new responsibility. In Jesus' name.
I'd ask Todd and Heidi and Travis and Carolyn to face you as I give you a charge of the congregation. This is a very important part of this service to me. Sometimes we think of the commitments and the vows that the couple have made or the pastor has made. But this is a mutual event today. It's a commitment that you as a congregation are given as well. So I'm offering a charge to you. Brothers and sisters, you have heard the commitment to ministry in this congregation made by Pastor Travis and Pastor Todd. I now solemnly charge you to receive them as your pastors and to live honestly, openly, and justly with them. Amen. You may be seated. And Travis, you can just stay up here. You guys being nearby too. I'd like to just sort of outline the next steps here as well. We are looking for Travis to give a response to this, and then followed by Todd will give a response to this as well. And then following that, we're looking for our ministry team, Glenn and then Steve, and then Phil to give brief words of encouragement as well. And then I think there'll be a hymn, and then Bruce Souder from the Goodville congregation will give the benediction. So that's the order that we'll follow here. So Travis and then Todd and then the ministry team.
First, I wanted to say that this morning when I came here, I felt really special this morning because Pastor Phil was wearing a suit. For those of you that don't know, he wears suits basically only when we have communion. But seriously, when Carl told us that we'd have like 2 to 3 minutes for a response, and as I started getting together what I wanted to share, I realized that I was going way over that. So I narrowed it down to what I felt was the most important thing that I wanted to share, and that is this, that Paul in the Bible told Timothy to set an example for the believers in life, speech, love, faith, and purity. But reality is, we're setting an example whether we realize it or not. It's not a question of whether or not we're going to set an example. The question is whether or not we're going to set a good or a bad example. And so, I don't know if any of the youth or young adults remember this. I've shared this to you guys before about how you don't realize, you might never realize it, but people are watching you, people see what you're doing, you're setting an example. And so what I want to say and what I want you guys to remember is that for me, today says more about you guys than it says about Todd and myself. It says more about the examples that yous have set for us and the impact that you guys have had on our lives. And that goes, like, even with the youth, I mean, when we were youth leaders, when Carol and I were, it forced me to be accountable to you guys. So it goes from old to young. It doesn't matter what age you are, kids as well. You force me to be an adult. But what I want to say is thank you guys for the examples that you have set before me. And if anything else, if you don't know how to pray for us or whatever, I would just say for me, you can just pray. The prayer that I've always had for myself is that I would not do anything to discredit the name of Jesus or the work that God is doing, but that I can be an asset to that and to further that. And also the prayer that we have for our kids every night, you can pray for me as well, is that we would have courage, confidence, and boldness in Jesus. Thank you, guys.
I kind of had the same thoughts as Travis when asked to share 2 to 3 minutes. I was like, is this the first test of being a pastor to narrow it down to 2 minutes? But I'll give it my best shot. I want to talk about just the will of God and God's, in my mind, God's sense of humor in getting us, or me, to this day. So those of you that don't know, I'm a sports junkie, so this would be like the ESPN highlight of, like, the game, which is my life. So if you don't know, I was born in Texas, so that's the first, like, main milestone of how do I get here today when I was born in Texas. So anyway, my parents moved Wow. My parents moved our family back up here to this area. Then the next milestone that is kind of odd in me getting here today is most of my growing up life was at a Lutheran church, not Mennonite church. That part of my life, I thought that Mennonite meant riding bikes or horse and buggies, and that's all I knew about Mennonites. Funny story, my dad's mom, my grandma used to always say, well, we could have been Mennonite, so Grandma Carvel, this is for you, now we are Mennonite. I went to Cocalico High School and then ended up going to Millersville University, where I became saved in February of 2005. So I have a lot of, a big part of credit and God's will going to getting me to Millersville and getting me into a church there. And then a pastor that would just pastor and teach us with all his heart, Pastor Dwayne Metzler. And then through that, Phil came to UCF one Sunday and shared about Woodcrest. And so I started working there. And then I saw the beautiful young lady that was also working there. And we ended up getting married later and coming to church here. And now to this day where we're at now. And so the will of God is just like decisions that we can't even make for ourselves that were made for us by somebody else, and how he just orchestrates all of that together, taking a Texan that grew up going to Lutheran Church, who's now a Mennonite pastor in Lancaster County, just is mind-blowing. And there's two songs that we sang this morning, just the great unknown. So it feels like we're at this chapter now, and the next chapters aren't written yet. You know, God has them written, but we haven't read them yet, maybe is the better way to say it. So just looking forward to serving you guys the best that I can. Teaching things that I feel God has been teaching me, walking beside you, offering an ear to listen, and just whatever instruction God may give me. And I just pray that you would continue to lift up Heidi and I and the boys in prayer, as we will lift you up as well. Thank you.
Well, Todd and Heidi and Travis and Carolyn, it's a blessing and it's a joy to see young people that are willing to respond to the call and take up leadership in the church. I brought something along here this morning. Oh, do you know what this is?
A yoke.
Well, that's not exactly a yoke. Well, you got pretty close. They put the yoke, I guess, around the horse's head, and then they, of course, up here, and the other horse here. So it's called a two-horse hitch. I don't think you know what it is. It's in the game on Texas. Actually, I thought all you need is a cowboy hat. It is a yoke, I came here this morning, I'm going to use something that nobody else is going to talk about. And Carl just stole the wind right out of my sail. But I'm going to read it again anyways. Matthew 28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So always remember that you're not pulling alone. You know, Jesus is there, and he's probably pulling this or just dragging along behind his mind. Yeah, I'd like to read the words yet that Paul said to Timothy. He says, "Therefore, I remind you, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands." We did that this morning. So the gift of God for this responsibility is now within you. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Blessings to each of you couples as you pull together with Jesus.
For those of you that don't know me, I'm Steve. I'm the deacon. Apparently I missed the memo that I have a speaking part. But I've known these guys. I won't recite their names again because I'll get them wrong probably, because that's what nerves do to you. But I've known them for a number of years, and I've admired their faith, their dedication, their witness, and so much so that that I'm thinking about shaving my head and getting a black shirt. My words of encouragement would be, Glenn had brought what we in Western Pennsylvania call a double tree. He calls it a two-horse hitch, whatever. It won't be two of you pulling. It will be the six of us that make up the ministry team. And not just that, the whole congregation, everybody that's here this morning, we're all pulling together. God bless you.
First thing I thought of was something shared in Sunday school this morning. We were talking about the body working together, and this is maybe a word to all of us. And there's a phrase about all the supporting ligaments holding things together, and for some reason that struck me a lot, that the muscles are what are visible in doing the work, but when a ligament is torn or not working correctly, it doesn't matter how strong the muscle is, it's not going to function well. And so that's a word for all of us, to be good supporting ligaments so that we as a body can serve God together. For Todd and Travis, something that in thinking about my life and ministry, it may be your character and things of the gifts that God has given you that's kind of led to others calling you and God calling you to service in this way. But I've found that it's really mostly when I completely submit myself and recognize that it's not at all in my own strength, and it's nothing of me that's going to accomplish anything that God wants. A prayer that I often pray, and I'm mostly reminding myself, is just that apart from you, I can do nothing. And it's pretty like cut and dry, like without Him we can do nothing, but when we remain in Him, He promises to bear much fruit in and through us. So remain in Him, love God with all your heart, love others, and the first thing in loving others is our spouse. So I encourage you to, those two relationships, loving God and loving our spouse, would be my encouragement to you. And I think in closing, I'm to give some direction also in as we finish up, and I think there will be a song following this, but we will have an opportunity for you to greet Travis and Carolyn and Todd and Heidi. I think we'll have them stay up front, and if you want to greet them, you can come up the middle aisle and then go back the side aisle. We often have a sharing time or time for announcements. We didn't include that, but there is one announcement that we need to make, and that's related to next Sunday. Lydia Eberly is planning to go with YWAM to India, and she's preparing a fellowship meal fundraiser for next Sunday. So you can talk to Lydia more about that, and if you're able to, plan on staying and supporting her next week. So at this time, I think we'll have the song, and then Bruce will lead us in a benediction.
Turn to page number 573 in the Mennonite hymnal. 573. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone, Travis, Carolyn, Todd, and Heidi. It's a privilege for me to be here and take part in this very special service. Carl wondered if I would have a word of blessing and the benediction, and as I thought about that, and by the way, for those who do not know, I am Travis's brother. I'm not his father, I'm his brother. But it is a great privilege to be here. And as a word of blessing, the greatest blessing I think that I could give is the fact, well, first of all, we know that God will be with you. God equips those he calls. God is going to bless you. God's going to be with you. But I think the best thing that I could encourage you guys is they have a great calling here. And they need you guys to support them. As a pastor, I think one of the greatest things that I feel that is important to me is to feel the love of the congregation, the encouragement from the congregation, and the prayers. So they need your support, and I know you'll give it, and who knows what God will be doing with them, with you as a congregation in the future. But God has a work to do, and he will do it. In fact, for my benediction, I'm going to be sharing from Ephesians chapter 3. It's a very familiar benediction, but I think it's so true and so real in that we don't know what God will be calling, what God will be, how God will be using Gaiman's Mennonite Church here, but God has a plan and he will do that. So I would invite you to stand for the benediction and a prayer. Would you join me? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, now we just ask that you give a special blessing, that you watch over Travis and Carolyn, Todd and Heidi, in the role that you have called them to. Lord, we know and we believe that you will do that. We are confident in that. So bless them, bless this congregation in whatever work you would have them to do in the future. And now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. God bless you all.